Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome again to Disciple Me. I am your host, Dr. Kahala Bolton, as many of you may call me, Dr. Holly. Thank you so much for taking time to tune in today. We're going to continue to proceed on with our subject matter, Pray, Woman, Pray. And so our focus tonight is going to be how should we pray? And our foundational scripture that we've been using for this series for Pray, Woman, Pray is Acts 12, verse 5, and it reads, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So we just want to stay focused and stay in tune on that direct path and honor God at this time through prayer. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you have bestowed upon us. God, we just ask, God, that as we assemble together, God, and to hear, God, your word, God, that it will not fall on deaf ears, God, but that it will touch someone's heart and cause them to change, God, and cause them to examine themselves, to do things better, to want to press forward and to really work and to be the woman that you call them to be for the kingdom. We thank you for working on our lives and trusting, God, such an awesome gift, God, an assignment. We thank you, God, for being trustworthy to be able to handle what you have gifted us to handle, and we do not take it for granted. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, all right, all right. So as I was saying, our focus this evening is going to be how should we pray? As we begin this series of Pray, Woman, Pray, one of the things that we opened up with was we talked about what prayer is. We talked about why we should pray. And so tonight I wanted to actually take an extended amount of time and talk about how should we pray, with that being a question that is truly being raised by so many people. So we want to be conscious of our efforts and what we do, and we want to make sure that there's enough time to cover the material that is presented here tonight, because it's quite a bit. So we're going to jump right on in. You know, one of the things that I do know as we're focusing on how should we pray is, although that there is no prescribed prayer, for prayer, there's no prescription, Jesus provided what David Jeremiah called a roadmap for prayer with principles. And I love principles. It's a concept. It gives us a foundation. So Jesus provided this as a roadmap for prayer with principles. And that when you follow this, it provides tools for an effective prayer life for the believer. Now, as you examine, because what we're going to be using is the model of prayer, and it's going to be the Lord's Prayer, so we're going to examine that. And this is taught by Jesus himself in Luke chapter 11. So you can go and take time to go and read Luke chapter 11, and that's going to give you the Lord's Prayer. And so you'll find within the Lord's Prayer that there are various principles that are truly, truly noteworthy. So we're going to dive into some of those principles and really harp on some of these things, and I just pray as I begin that this will really meditate and penetrate your heart and cause you to examine how you pray and how you approach God when you pray. Amen? So the first principle that we're going to touch base on is praise. So when we look at the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that we see is it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what this says is our prayer should begin with praise and adoration to God. When we omit praise, our prayers become nothing but a wish list that is presented to God for his granting. And see, there are times when I know that, as a mother, I will come home, and after being gone, you know, whether it's, I've been gone to a conference or, you know, I had a long meeting, or maybe I've taken a trip or something like that, and if I've been gone for, you know, a few days or whatever, and I come home and my children are there, and various ages here, but what happens is I come in, various ages, different needs, you know, from them, and they all greet me, you know, with their agendas and their concerns, things that are going on in school, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing that I have found is that nobody says, you know, hey, mama, How you doing? How was the trip? We miss you so much. You know, none of that stuff is going on. You know, we're glad you're home. None of that comes out. Their only acknowledgement of my presence is their list of requests. And so that caused me to really, really, you know, begin to think. Because in the midst of them making this demand as I'm coming in, I usually will stop them and say, hold up. Can I at least, you know, get a hug or, you know, hey, mama, how are you doing? Welcome home. We love you. Something. And so I just want us to really think about that, how we come to God. Because likewise, we must also take note of the way that we approach God in prayer. We have to ask ourselves, do we go to him with a laundry list of, you know, God, I need this, God, I need that, or, you know, and I want this and I want that. I mean, we just, when we talk to God, we go right into the things that we need and what we want, you know, all about our focus. Or do we greet him with praise and adoration? We have to be conscious when we're, as we're focusing on how we should pray, about how we go to God. We just can't go in and just start talking about our needs and, you know, what we want and everything. Because at the end of the day, God desires us to praise him with the fruit of our lips. And so we must bless the Lord at all times, because his praise should continuously be in our mouth. And that's in Psalms 34:1. And so that is why it is very important that when you go before God, you don't go with selfish intent. You go with praise on your lips. If you're going to pray, you have to enter in praise first and foremost. The next principle that I want to talk about is priorities. The next part of the Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so prayer is not, you know, getting our will done in heaven, but it is getting God's will done here on earth, because God's will is already manifested in heaven. So when we're praying so that thy kingdom come and that his will be done here on earth, because it's already done in heaven. God promises to answer our prayers when we pray according to his will. And that is why it is important that we really examine ourselves when we pray, because we do not want to enter in with selfish hearts. When we pray, we need to make sure that we are also including, God, I want your will to be done. This is very important, because it is not about what we want, because a lot of times if God was to bless us with some of the things that we ask for, we would be in a world of trouble, and that is the reality. But what I have found is that when our priorities are according to God's will, they will line up with the word of God. And so this is very important. We have to have our priorities in check. Amen? All right. So now that leads us to our next principle, which is provision. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. What this says is that we must trust God to provide our needs. So when you're going before God, you're like, God, give me this day, you know, my daily bread. Give me, God, exactly what I need just for this day. I'm not worried about yesterday. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I am just worried about what I need just to be able to make it in this day. And I am trusting you, God, to provide the needs for this day. And God promises to provide our physical bread. He literally promises to provide our physical bread. If you read that in Matthew 6:25, it is written. And he will also provide our spiritual food. So not only is he providing something in the physical, but he's also providing something in the spiritual. And those two have to balance each other. It is very, very important. It is so important to remember that we must seek God to be fed. We have to seek him to be fed. When you are hungering for something, when you are thirsty, God will feed you. When you come to them, if you come to him and with a desire to, you know, God, I want more of you. I hear a lot of people saying, I want more of God, I want more of God. You know, don't just say that as a cliche term, but if you're really truly, you know, desiring God, you're hungering after him, he will feed you because of the desires of your heart. 1 Peter 2:2, you'll find it there. If you're seeking God, He will feed those who are hungry and desire the milk of the word. He'll give you sustenance, something to sustain you, something that you can hold on to. But however, we can only be fed when we come to the table. So that's why I'm saying it's very cliche, and we're just throwing it out there talking about, you know, I'm just in a place where I'm thirsty, I'm hungry for God, I'm this, and we just speaking and, you know, giving lip service, but we're not doing anything about it. So we have to be intentional about coming to the table, coming before God, getting at the table so that we can be, for, you know, fed. So in other words, we can only receive spiritual nourishment when we feast on the word of God. So a lot of us are running around here and we're running on E, and that's because we have not sat at the table that has been prepared for us. So we have to be intentional about this thing, because God has definitely set it up to where he is going to give us provision, but we have to come and we have to go to the table to be fed. Amen. Now, the next principle that we're going to talk about is going to be personal relationship. Personal relationship. It says in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. The cross of Calvary does not extend vertically. I want you to get this in your mind. The cross of Calvary, think about Calvary's cross, it does not only just extend vertically, but it also extends horizontally. And so Christianity does not only deal with how we relate to God, but it also deals with how we relate to one another. See, God is just as concerned about our relationship that we have with others as he is with our relationship that we have with him. And so, therefore, just as we pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins, we should also forgive those who have offended us. And a lot of times that is very difficult for people to do, because forgiveness is very, you can find that sometimes it is a difficult thing for people to truly have a forgiving heart, or being able to forgive people when they have offended them. And a lot of that, or I'm going to say 100% of that, is all about flesh. It's a feelings thing. So we really got to get out of our feelings, and we really have to look at this about this personal relationship that we are to have. Look at how we're coming to our perfect model of prayer. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We have to forgive. Now, our next principle that we're going to talk about is going to be protection. It says in the Lord's Prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the life of the believer involves constant spiritual warfare. There is going to be battles that are going to rage in your life, and there is definitely purpose for that, but we have to be reminded that we do not war in the flesh, because our weapons are mighty through God. This is not a flesh battle, meaning that, you know, we're in our skin and we're fighting something that, per se, is a physical thing, but it is truly spiritual. And we have to remember that we do not war in the flesh, because our weapons are mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 4. And so our weapons are mighty through God, who protects us and fights the battle for us. See, Satan, our enemy, is always at work, seeking to discourage and deter us. But thanks be to God that we are victorious through Christ Jesus, because in John 10 and 10 it says, Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and that we may have it more abundantly. So when we talk about protection and we look back at that line of the Lord's Prayer where it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, then we can be confident knowing that it's already written in God's word, that as we are praying and going before God, we know what Satan's assignment is to kill, steal, and destroy, but we know that Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. So we have the best protection in the world. Amen. So our next principle that we're going to touch on, and definitely I want to encourage you to make sure that you have a journal handy so that you can write down the scriptures that I am throwing out at you. And please know that you can always, even though that this is a live broadcast, you can always go back and listen to this broadcast later on. It's going to be available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime. It's just going to be out there. So don't hesitate to not go back and to listen to this at your leisure. Make sure you have your journal, write the scriptures, and then also take time to study this, because the Bible says study to show thyself approved. It's one thing for us to get into the word and for us to focus on, assembling together and to learn together, and that's great. But it is very important for us to take our study time and also study by ourselves so that you just don't have my understanding, but you can also pray and God can give you an understanding and also make it plain for you. So that's very, very important that you do that. So let's look at the next principle. The next principle is promise. It says in the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's the promise. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So I just want to encourage you, as a child of God, we have the promise that God is sovereign. He reigns forevermore. So no matter what we may be going through or how bleak our circumstances may appear, God is in control. And at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's in Philippians 2:11. And if that's not good news, I don't know what good news is. Amen. Jesus provided this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. He provided this prayer as a model. It is not the, prayer, the ends to the mean, the only prayer that you need to be praying. But he provided it as a model to help believers gain the principles in praying effectively. You catch that, effectively. We need to be able to pray effectively. So another common way to remember the components of prayer is through an acronym that was created, and it's called ACSIL, and it's ACTSIL. And so that's an acronym, and what that stands for are the following. Six things that it stands for. The first one is adoration. That means praise and worship to God, adoration. Second, confession of sins. Third, thanksgiving, thanking God for his many blessings. Fourth, supplication, making requests for yourself. Fifth, intercessory, making requests for others. And sixth, listening, taking time to hear from God. When we look at Acts 12, verse 5, it provides another model for prayer. And there we find King Herod, who was seeking to persecute the church, had thrown Peter in jail. And King Herod had previously killed James, the brother of John, and now had Peter arrested with the intention of killing him. So when the church heard the news, they gathered for prayer. And so the verse says, "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church." Catch it. "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Acts 12, verse 5. There are some principles for prayer right there in that verse. Let's dissect this particular Acts 12 and 5. Let's look at petition. Prayer was made. That's what it said in the scripture. We just read it. When the church heard that Peter was in prison, they literally petitioned God in prayer. And the Bible says prayer was made. As children of God, we have the awesome privilege of petitioning God for ourselves and others. And so Philippians 4 and 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Isn't it a blessing to know that we can talk to God about everything? Some people think, you know what, God don't care about this or he don't care about that. That's so, you know, minimal. You know, maybe it's only the big things that you think God care about. That is the furthest thing from the truth. We serve a God who can be touched by our pain and our infirmities. He can be touched by the fact that you feel like that you have this minimal hair loss that's going on, and that may be something so small that you just started to notice, but it is a big thing to you. He cares about that. Yes, we serve a God who understands whatever we may be going through. We need to understand that he understands whatever it is that we may be going through because he loves us just that much. And so the word also says that we can go boldly before the throne and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's in Hebrews 4 and 16. We can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5 and 7. So we know that we can go boldly before his throne and that we can truly go and obtain mercy and find grace when we are having a time of need and cast those cares upon him because he truly cares, making those petitions known. So that's what we're doing. Prayer is being made. Amen? So let's look at another principle coming off of this Acts 12 and 5. It says persistence. Let's talk about persistence. Persistence, it says, In that scripture that we read, Acts 12 and 5, it says, but prayer was made, and then it, right after but prayer was made, it says, without ceasing, without ceasing. So we're talking about persistence here as a principle. The Bible says they prayed without ceasing. In other words, they were persistent in their praying. Often, when the results that we desire are not seen, we are tempted to give up. I'm being real tonight, okay? When we don't start seeing results from our prayer, a lot of us will begin to throw in the towel. We stop trusting God. We start turning our backs on him and all that kind of stuff because we have been tempted because we are not seeing the results that we think that we should be seeing, or they haven't come as soon as we thought that they should. But I want to encourage you that you must remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor, it is not in vain. And that is the word of God, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. See, when you want something bad enough, I want you to close your eyes and think about it. When you want something bad enough, you keep at it until it has been accomplished. I'm talking about whether it is that last 5 pounds, whether if you are a cook and you want to get a recipe correct, or you may be someone that likes to fix things and or you're creative, you like to design things and you're, you know, have this arts and craft thing. But the reality is, whatever it is, when you want something bad enough, it may be the job that you want bad enough so that you can get more income or better health care, whatever the case may be. When you want something bad enough, you keep at it until it has been accomplished. That is the same way that it should be with prayers. Are you hearing me? Do you desire it enough to remain faithful in your prayers? Do you desire it enough to be faithful in your prayers? You got to remain faithful. Do you desire it enough to be obedient? Come on down, somebody. Do you desire it enough to be obedient? Are you willing to endure the hardships, or will you give up when the going gets tough? See, there is a process while we're going through, because I know that we can get faced with things, and when things are not going our way with or going as quick as we want to, then we will get in here and, you know, we will not obey by being faithful, remaining faithful to pray and bringing those petitions before God and being consistent and praying without ceasing. And then the next thing you know, that hardship pops up and we're like, we're done. And I'm not just saying this about other people. I'm speaking to myself, too, because I have had moments where I have been faint at heart, too, you know, where it's just been a very weak moment for me. But I am so thankful that I have a relationship with God, that when I find myself having those weak moments, I have his word hidden in my heart so it can pull me right back on up and give me the conviction that I need, so that I can turn that thing around and get back focused. Amen? You have to remember that persistence in prayer is for your benefit. It is not for God. It is not for God. You know, God already knows what he's going to do. So the persistence in the prayer, it's not for God, it's for your benefit, because that proves that you want it bad enough. And you're not going to stop praying until that thing has been accomplished. Amen? That's what it's all about. Be persistent. Be persistent. I love that. I love that. Let's talk about the next principle of public. The scripture says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Now, I'm not talking about a building, because we are the church. We are the body. So prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Their prayers were public. And so they joined together and prayed as a body of Christ. And so what this does is it shows the importance of the body of believers coming together to touch and agree through prayer. I don't know how many people get in their mind that, you know, they, when they're going through crisis in their life and everything, that they can make it. And a lot of times what you find is that when people are going through, you know, they don't assemble together. They'll stay at home, you know, to themselves and try to work, you know, things out, you know, for themselves or whatever case may be. But they will not assemble. And the bad thing about that is that it can hurt you, because there is purpose behind us assembling together, because it can strengthen us. Amen? So coming together is very important. Touching and agreeing through prayer. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in God's name, he will be in the midst. You see where I'm going? Matthew 18 and 20. He will be in the midst. Therefore, you know that God is praying. You know, he's present during corporate prayer. If we are there touching the green and we're gathered and assembled, God is in the midst every single time because we have come together. It's already written in his word. And now, even Jesus saw the need to, you know, he saw the need to come together with others to pray. You can read that in various different books of the Bible, Matthew 11, Luke 3, John 11, John 17. It's all written there where Jesus saw the need to come together with others to pray. And you can touch and agree in faith with other believers, and you can do mighty things in the name of Jesus. That is, I mean, you can literally see mountains move when you start to touch and agree in faith with other believers. The more people who are praying for something, catch it, the more people who are praying for something, the more voices are being lifted to heaven. God is hearing. Oh, he is hearing, because these requests are being made known. So we hear all these people, and it's coming out, and they're focused on this one thing. When your prayers are according to the will of God, he will move, because he is faithful to his word. God is not a man that he's going to lie. Numbers 23 and 19, he is not a man that he's going to lie. So you don't have to worry about him failing you like some of these people that tell, you know, make promises to us and don't follow through. You don't have to worry about God not doing that. If you look back over your life, you will definitely find that God has really truly taken you from one place to the next, and that if you really truly be honest with yourself, God has never failed you, and nothing that he has said that was in his will that applied to your life, it was not a lie. It came to pass, and it manifested. Amen? Now, let's look at another principle. The next principle that we're going to look at is personal. Personal. The prayer was personal because it was, as the text says, catch it, unto God. That's why it was personal. And as a believer, you have direct access to the Savior. You do not have to ask, a minister, you know, a pastor, whatever, to pray on your behalf, because you already have direct access to the Savior. You can pray to the Father for yourself. And God's word says that you can go boldly. You can go boldly to the throne of God in Hebrews 4, verse 16. You know, I remember there was this young man. He was about 6 years old, and he had a friend over. He was playing at the house and everything. And then after being outside playing for a while, the two boys, you know, they was hot and tired and everything, because you know how boys can get. They get out there and they play real, real hard. And so the young man had this great idea, and he knew that there were some popsicles that were in the refrigerator. And so the young man, he sent his friend to ask his dad if they could have a popsicle. And so the father said, son, you know, he told him, he said, well, you know, because he sent his friend to go ask his daddy. I don't know why the young man. So the popsicle, and so the man says, okay, he's sitting there and he's listening to the young boy, the young friend ask, and he said, you know, Mr. Davis, Ronnie told me to ask if you would, if we could have a popsicle. And so he said, well, where is Ronnie? And so his dad, you know, the dad questioned. He said, tell him I said come here. So here Ronnie done send, you know, Joseph to go ask the daddy. And so the daddy was like, well, wait a minute. Why is, you know, Joseph coming to ask me, why didn't my son come? So he said, tell him I said come here. And so when Ronnie came, his dad explained to him, son, I am your father. You hear me? He said, son, I am your father. You do not have to send your friend to ask me for something that you want, nor do you have to be afraid to come to ask yourself, because I am your father. You can come to me at any time about anything. And this is the same message God has for us. We are his children. That's our daddy. And we don't have to send anybody in on our behalf to ask him for anything, because we can come to him because he is our father. We are his children. And we can make our prayers personal unto God. And in addition to that, God is concerned about every detail of our life. Nothing is too small that we can talk to him for ourselves. And somebody needs to just praise the Lord right there, because that is a reality check right there. That's my daddy. And there is nothing that is too small or too large that I can come and talk to my daddy about. Amen. So the last principle tonight that we're going to talk about is going to be proxy. And that's P-R-O-X-Y. P-R-O-X-Y, proxy. So the church was praying for Peter. Pay attention now. The church was praying for Peter. And so the scripture says prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. Catch it? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. So the church was praying on Peter's behalf. Now, although our prayers can be personal, There are times when we desire or perhaps need the prayers of others. So the word proxy means an unauthorized agent or substitute, one deputized to act for another. See, Jesus sends in proxies for us as he meditates between the Father and us, presenting us as righteous. He's our mediator. Now, as we pray proxy prayers, we are not presenting others as righteous. That's not our assignment. We are not presenting others as righteous or reconciling them to God because Jesus has already done that. But what we are doing, we are praying for their particular situation and for the release of God's power in their lives. That's all that we can do in the midst of the prayer. So when we go and we are being substitutes for that person, that in essence is not, and I get that because I, you know, stand as an intercessor. I know that I stand and I pray for other people and I stand in the gap for other people, and there's other intercessors that I'm connected with and they stand in the gap for other people. And so I really get what this is saying as far as we pray as proxy prayers, because we are not presenting, you know, people as righteous or trying to reconcile them to God, because we're not Jesus. So the only thing that we can do, because, again, that has already been done, is that we are praying now for their particular situation and for the release of God's power in their lives. So we really need to keep that in the forefront, you know, for us, so that we understand that as we are praying, how we should pray, all of these things are making sense to us. Amen. We have discussed quite a bit more than what I normally do. You know, I normally have a 15-minute session on this particular topic, but I found this one, as far as how should we pray, requiring a little bit more of our time. And so I just want to just go back over those principles one more time. Again, we touched based on the Lord's Prayer, and then we also delved into our foundational scripture coming from Acts 12 and 5. So we know the Lord's Prayer is in Luke chapter 11, and then also Acts 12 and 5. Those are the two ones that we were grabbing these principles from. And so in the Lord's Prayer, the principles that we were able to get from that, praise, priorities, provision, personal relationship, protection, and promise. Those were the ones that we were able to get from the Lord's Prayer. And then as we examined Acts 12 and 5, the principles that we pulled from that was petition, persistence, public, personal, and proxy. Okay? So I hope you got all of those good principles and everything, and that you really go back over this and study it and really, you know, search yourself. So before we close out this evening and everything, I want you to take time. I want you to take time, and I'm going to throw some questions out here so that you can examine yourself. And I really want you to think about these things. And so the first question that I'm going to ask you, and you should know the answer to, is, what is the Lord's Prayer? What is the Lord's Prayer? So I want you to take a step back, make sure that you understand what the Lord's Prayer is. That's exactly what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you, in essence, to quote it. But what I want you to know is I want you to go to Luke 11. I want you to read it again. Then I want you to understand what it is. So based off of what we have discussed tonight, what is the Lord's Prayer? How should we pray? What is the Lord's Prayer? What is the understanding that you were able to get from this study? The second question that I want to pose to you tonight, how should the Lord's model prayer affect your personal prayers? I want you to really think about that. So we're going to, you know, take time, look at the Lord's Prayer again, think about what we've discussed, and really reflect and have an introspect, you know, with yourself on how should the Lord's model prayer affect your personal prayers. How is it going to orchestrate some things so that now that you have seen some principles being pulled out of the Lord's Prayer, how is it going to transform your own personal prayers? Think about that as you're journaling, as you're taking time to reflect and all those good things. Think about that. And then number three, I gave you an acronym, and I want for you to go back. I'm not going to say what it is, but I want you to go back and tell me, what does the acronym ACTSIL, A-C-T-S-I-L, stand for? I need you to journal that, get it in your spirit. What does it stand for? And then what I want you to do, ACTSIL, how might this be helpful when you pray? So once you take time to go back and find out what that, you know, as you're going through this study again, find out what that acronym is for. How might that be helpful when you pray? That's what I want you to really, you know, examine yourself and really think about, reflect on all those good things, and ask yourself that question. So I am just really, really excited. We have a few more subjects that we're going to touch base on, and it looks like from the look of it, we have two more Tuesdays left in this month. So what I'm going to do to ensure that I close out this month with prayer is I'm going to ensure that the coming weeks that I'm going to make sure that I double up on some of the topics, because they're actually short topics, so we'll be good as far as time and everything. So we may only spend 15 to 30 minutes for those. But I want to make sure that I double up, and then I also have an opportunity for you to really, you know, get the discussion questions in and really talk about some of these things. And then we'll conclude with, you know, really being that woman, you know, having that effective prayer life, because that's the goal of what we're really trying to get, you know, to as far as this Disciple Me, you know, session is concerned for Pray, Woman, Pray. Our goal with this whole session is to develop an effective prayer life and seek to be intentional in prayer. That's what the goal is. And so when we finish all of this, you know, there's definitely going to be some homework assignments that I'm going to give you and everything. But this is going to be some personal stuff that you will do, and I guarantee you when you do it, it's going to really, truly empower and catapult your prayer life into a whole nother arena if you do the work and if you're obedient to it. And so it's not going to be something that's going to be so time-consuming that it's going to take from your day-to-day, you know, life and what you have going on. But it is going to be something that's going to be necessary for your prayer life. And so as we resume on next week, we're going to look at, you know, the workings of prayer, you know, how prayer works and all that good stuff. And then we're also going to look at some of the hindrances, things, you know, how prayer may be hindered. You know, we pray, but if there's a delay, why was it a delay? So we're going to look at some of that and some things that, you know, will hinder our prayer. And so I'm definitely going to pray about that one, because even though I'm saying I'm going to double up, I don't want to overwhelm us with too much information. And I want to make sure that if a topic demands its own session, that I give that. Because I want us to focus on that so we can understand, and then we'll conclude with the results of what the results of prayer is. And so this is really, truly exciting. It has definitely been empowering for me, and so I'm excited that we're on this for the journey, and I look forward to, concluding the journey with you as well. As always, I pray that these sessions are a blessing to your life. I pray that you have been edified, equipped, and empowered to you know, truly be the disciple that God is calling you to be, woman of God, you know, in the kingdom. So, again, study to show thyself approved. Don't just take my word for it or anyone's word for it, but take this, allow it to empower you, go back and study it for yourself, and then apply it to your life. So I look forward to great testimony to, you know, forthcome, and I look forward to you really truly walking out your giftings and your purpose in life, and I thank God that you're yielding to what he's doing in your life. So this is your host, Dr. Kahala Bolton. I'm so excited that you have joined me yet again for Disciple Me as we have focusing on Pray, Woman, Pray. And we have just hit on the topic of how should we pray. And so we're going to pick up next time and go into our next topic. But until we meet again, I want you to be blessed. And so we're going to close out this session in prayer. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for this time. We thank you for being here in the midst of us. We thank you for just sitting, God, on our worship tonight. We thank you, God, for just loving us, and we thank you for your grace and mercy that you have bestowed upon our lives. God, you are wonderful. You are so awesome, God. We don't know where we would be without you, God. Thank you for showing, God, what your purpose is in our life, God. Thank you for working it out, God. Thank you for ordering our steps, God. Thank you, God, that we can recognize, God, the attack of the enemy, God, the warfare that we are facing, God, the deceit that we have to go through where we know that the enemy's assignment is to steal, kill, and destroy. But we just stand thanking you that we can have life and have it more abundantly because that's what your word has declared, and we know that your word will not return void. So, Father God, I just thank you so much, God, for doing exactly what you said you're going to do. We thank you that you are not man, that you will lie, and that you will give us everything that is in your will. And we know that the blessings have already been manifested in heaven, and we thank God that we're looking forward to the manifestation here on earth. And so, God, let us stay steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, God. And let us stay, God, in your will. We thank you for working out our lives, God. We thank you, God, that you are perfecting your wills in our lives, God. God, I'm asking, God, in the midst of everything that we're going through, that we do not lose focus, God, that we do not give up, that we stay focused, that we stay in the vein. And we thank you, God, for a relentless spirit. In the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.